Are you tired of constant conflict? Are you always fighting with your husband, your coworkers, your children? Does it seem like nothing ever really gets solved? Well, you can't change everyone around you, but you can change yourself. There are simple principles you can use to help deal with conflict in your relationships. Pull up a chair, because for the next half hour here on Beyond Today, we're going to teach you the principles for resolving conflict in your life.
Join our host, Gary Petty, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
You're with someone at work or school, with your best friend or your husband or wife. You find yourself in an argument. You argue your point, the other person argues his or her point, until everybody's upset and nothing seems to get settled. Been there? Many times conflict between two people can seem silly to the outside observer, but when you're the one in the conflict with hurt and angry emotions, it's easy for things to get out of hand. Well, here on Beyond Today, we're going to tell you how to have less conflict in your life. We've been doing a series of programs on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. There he teaches eight attitudes or beatitudes of what he says about life and how your life can be blessed. Now, these are commonly called the beatitudes or ways to perfect happiness. We all want happiness, and there's a lot of people telling us about what happiness is all about. But Jesus Christ came and told us about the attitudes, the approaches to life that are blessed. Now, if you want to be blessed, then you need to adopt these attitudes, these ways of looking at situations, into your life. Now, this information isn't from psychology or self-help books. You will find these secrets to a happy life only in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus says in Matthew 5, 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Jesus says that you can live a blessed life if you are a maker of peace. So how can you become a peacemaker? How can you have less conflict in your marriage or with the people at work? You know, back in the American West, the folklore is about the Colt 45 revolver. It was known as the peacemaker. Now, gunning down anyone who disagrees with you is a strange concept of peace, especially if you're the one getting shot. But it is a part of human nature to believe that if we can just get everyone to see it our way, then there'll be peace. Now, being a peacemaker includes learning to be assertive without being aggressive, without always pulling out your 45. So how can you learn to be assertive without being aggressive? Well, one of the most basic of human emotional needs is the desire to be understood. The problem is that we tend to only sort of see things from our viewpoint. We tend to be very subjective. Now, all of us need to be understood, but few people are trying to understand the other person. Now, you can see what the problem is. We're all needing to be understood, and few of us are understanding others. Let me show you what I mean. That's a blue ball. All of us agree, yeah, it's a blue ball. There's no argument, nothing that we need to understand about each other. But what if I do this? Now, it's a green ball. What if I had two people on both sides of me, and I held the ball like that? One person would see a green ball, the other a blue ball. Both would argue vehemently that, yes, that's a blue ball. This person would say, yes, that's a green ball. And you know what? They would both be partly right and both be partly wrong. Because you see, it's not just a green ball, and it's not just a blue ball. And so we have to learn to understand the other person's viewpoint, not just our own viewpoint. And the reason we do that, or how we do that, is through active listening. See, what happens the most of the time when we're listening to someone else, what are we doing? We're thinking about what we want to say. If they're telling a fish story, what are we thinking about? You know, we're not really listening to that person. We're thinking about a bigger fish story. Here's how you know if you've actually listened actively to another person. When they're done, you're able to say, now, if I understand, this is what you're saying. And you're able to communicate to that person back what they said. And then if that person says, no, that's not what I meant, you can ask for clarification. But you've listened intently enough that you actually understand. I mean, how many times do we flame conflict because we prejudge a situation without really even knowing the facts? Okay, let me tell you a silly story, illustrate the point. Man's driving down the road, country road, nice spring day, windows open. And suddenly, before he comes up to a corner, a woman comes around. She's in his lane, swerving all over the place, drives him off the road. And as she buzzes by, she yells, "Pig!" And he yells back, "Cow!" He feels very good about it. Boy, he solved that problem. He fixed her. How dare her say that, and how dare her drive that bad? And he drives right around the corner and runs right into a pig standing in the middle of the road. You see, she wasn't trying to make fun of him or yelling names at him. She was trying to tell him there's a pig in the middle of the road. I know it's a silly story, but it makes a point, doesn't it? It makes a point. We prejudge situations, and in doing so, we come to conclusions, we flame conflict, and we really don't even know what the real issues are. King Solomon said this in Proverbs 18:13. "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." He who answers a matter before he hears it is folly, it is shame. So we have to stop in situations of conflict and say, what is it the other person is saying? Now, understanding doesn't mean that you have to agree, okay? You don't have to always agree with another person. But if you understand the other person, you can now disagree without creating a fight. You may also change that other person's viewpoint. See, many times when we truly understand the other person, you're able to say, well, here, let me explain to you a different way of seeing it. Let me show you the other side of the ball. And in doing so, you can actually help them come to your viewpoint. But you must understand them first. Now, when you apply active listening, since you can understand the other person, you're ready for step two. So that's the first step, that you're going to understand by applying active listening, trying to understand the other person. But before we go to the next important principle of becoming a peacemaker, I want to tell you about the free booklet we're offering on today's program. Now, I know it's hard sometimes. People say this is true and that is true. And we've all been burned by that offer, right? But the literature that we're offering here on Beyond Today is really free. We're not going to ask you for any money. Today, we're offering the important booklet, Making Life Work. Now, this booklet will really help you discover some important biblical secrets. Important secrets on how to have a happy family, how to develop strong friendships, biblical principles on success in your career, finances, keys to understanding better health, and, you know, most importantly, discovering God's purpose for your life. Now, if you want a free booklet, go online right now to beyondtoday.tv. You can read it, or you can order your free copy of Making Life Work. Or we will send you a copy. You can call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv. We're not going to ask you for money. We want to give you this. Now, we're talking about how to apply Jesus' teaching to be a blessed person because we're peacemakers. Now, our first point was to be an active listener and try to listen and understand the other person's viewpoint. We now need to deal with the difference between being assertive and being aggressive. Okay, those are two different things. Most conflict happens not only when two people have different viewpoints, but they have different needs and different motives, and then we try to force what we want on the other person. We're back to the old Colt 45, right? That's aggression. I'm going to force my way on you. Now, here's what Jesus teaches about aggression in the Sermon on the Mount. This is another series of programs on the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to go there. Go to Matthew 5, and we're going to start in verse 38. So get your Bibles. Go to Matthew chapter 5. We're in the middle here of the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to start in verse 38. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Now, that's an Old Testament law that basically means, you know, the punishment should fit the crime, okay? "But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek to him also. He says, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." Now, you read through that and you say, wow, I guess Jesus wants to be all of us to be doormats, you know, just let people take advantage of us. He is not teaching that all of us should somehow let others abuse us. Here's what he's saying. that a person who is a peacemaker, remember, this is in the context of the Beatitudes. Blessed is the peacemaker. He talks about peace a number of times here in the Sermon on the Mount. The person who is a peacemaker goes the extra mile to create understanding, to create peace. You know, a peacemaker, according to Jesus, isn't someone who's always looking for payback, even when you're poorly treated by someone else. Now, that's not easy, is it? It's not easy. We all want our payback. Jesus said, wait a minute. In any conflict, before you want your payback, before we respond with anger, before we respond with being defensive, step back and try, if we can, to create peace. In order to do that, we have to go the extra mile. Now, you know, this is sort of easy when you're doing this with someone you love, right? You know, someone you get along with, someone who has the same personality you do. This is real hard when the other person is being, you consider, obnoxious, or they're hurting your feelings. This is why husbands and wives who love each other very much, or parents and children, can have such conflict, such hurtful conflict many times. They love each other. But because of the hurt involved, the response can be so negative. Well, how do we deal with that? Right here, Jesus talks about it. So let's pick up our Bibles again in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to go to verse 43. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, love your neighbor is actually from the Old Testament. It's one of the laws in the Torah. To hate your enemy, that's sort of the common wisdom of the time. You know, every age has its common wisdom. Love your neighbor. But yeah, but I don't have to love my enemy. This was especially said in a time when they were an occupied nation. I mean, the Romans occupied their country. Hating your enemy was very, very easy. And it would be very easy to be aggressive towards those people. But here's what Jesus says. Verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. When was the last time you prayed for someone that was hurting you? You know, if your wife, your husband is hurting you, you want your payback. You want them to understand. How about going and praying for them? Oh yeah, no, I don't mean praying. God, please, now, they're hurting me. I want you to punish that person. But praying for them to understand, to soften their heart. How about a coworker? How about your boss? How about someone at school? When was the last time you went and prayed for someone so that you could have peace? See, this isn't the way we think. What we think is, I want to go in to the conflict. I want to resolve the conflict, usually by how? Well, I'm going to pull out my 45, and I'm going to make that person do what I want them to do. Instead of looking at the way Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, that the constitution of the kingdom, you know, the Sermon on the Mount is sometimes called the constitution of the kingdom of God. This is the basic way in which Jesus Christ, the future king of the kingdom, tells us how to live life. He goes on here in verse 45. Why should we do this? Okay. Why should we treat others who sometimes mistreat us? Why should we do the right when they're doing the wrong? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, that he makes the sun his son. It's his son. God owns the universe. His son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren, how much is that better than anybody else, he says. If you just greet your brethren, you know, yeah, you can treat your friends this way. It's really hard when it's that coworker who is obnoxious. This is really difficult when it's your neighbor who's always complaining about your dog. So what do you want to do? You want to get him in trouble instead of being the peacemaker. Being a peacemaker is a way of life. In order to do that, we have to learn to be assertive, express our opinions, without being aggressive. And here's why, once again, in verse 48, Jesus says, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is all about doing what is right because we're following God. This is all about doing what is right because we're the children of God. You know, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be the children of God. This is the purpose in your life. This is why you were born. Now, to be assertive is to be able to express your opinion without attacking the other person. Now, being a peacemaker doesn't always mean being a doormat. You know, I mean, if you just are a doormat all the time, then what are you going to do? You're going to end up feeling angry and worthless. Appeasement, you know, being a peacemaker isn't just appeasing everyone. So, when you start a statement, here's a little secret. When you start a statement with someone who's in conflict with you, what do we usually do? We attack them. You know, you have a problem. Well, instead of doing that, how about starting your statement with someone you're in conflict with? You know, I feel like we have a problem here. I feel like for some reason, you know, we just can't seem to get along. I feel like we need to talk. When you act a certain way, it actually hurts my feelings. How about starting it that way instead of just attacking the other person? Why do we do this? You know, we're talking about being a peacemaker. Jesus said, be a peacemaker so that we can be the children of God. I'm going to tell you the most important information that anybody can tell you. So I want you to listen to this very, very closely. This is the most important information in your life. And unfortunately, even a lot of Christian churches aren't telling people this anymore. You were made in the image of God, but you aren't living as someone made in the image of God. You see, all of us have become very messed up images. All of us have become very disfigured images of God because all of us have become mixtures of good and evil. You do not have peace with your Creator, and that's why you don't have peace in your life. I don't care whether it's war between nations. I don't care whether it's a problem between a husband and wife. I don't care whether it's a problem between you and your neighbor. It all comes down to we don't have peace because we don't have peace with God. Jesus Christ wasn't just another good person. He is the Son of God, sent to this earth to teach evil humanity the Creator's way of life. He came to die as a substitute for your sins and my sins. God actually demands there be a substitute for us. And you won't ever have a peaceful relationship with God until you recognize that you haven't just done wrong, but you are a corrupt image of God in need of forgiveness and in need of change. If you turn to God and become a disciple of Jesus Christ, you can become a child of God, but only through by following the teachings of Jesus Christ. And there you can discover true peace, because true peace requires a change in your nature. To be a peacemaker, you must first experience peace. Now, how can your nature be changed? Well, in the next segment, we're going to discuss your human nature, how it can be changed, and how you can experience being at peace with God.
In our fast-paced world, how do you hold on to life's most important things? Your relationships, your finances, even a positive state of mind. For step-by-step principles that always work, get a hold of your free copy of Making Life Work. It's full of timeless advice you need to succeed. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. The spiritual truths that work to always create lasting job and career success, that build healthy marriages and families, financial security, and a life full of friendships. Timeless principles for everybody. They always work. Get your free copy of Making Life Work now by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. Nothing should stop you from making life work. Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. What's the best way to rear your children for success? Questions need positive answers to the world's greatest issues and your personal ones as well. That's what you'll get when you get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back. When you order your free booklet of, or copy of, Making Life Work, we're going to send you a free one-year subscription to the Good News Magazine. And this is 6 issues of a very important magazine that will help you go through the Scripture and find out how God wants you to live, what's the purpose for your life, and the future that He has promised for you. We've been discussing Jesus' instruction in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Well, we're joined by Beyond Today host Steve Myers and Darris McNeely to discuss how you can experience the peace of being a child of God. Darris, what did Jesus really mean when He said that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be the children of God?
Well, when Christ used that term, being children of God, in connection with peacemaking, He was really making a statement, Gary, that to engage in peacemaking at whatever level is really a divine work. The scripture tells us that Jesus became our peace when he died for the sins of mankind. And so that was a divine work of reconciliation, of bringing people to God. When we begin to try to bring people together and make peace between parties, or we seek to make peace with someone where there's been a rupture in the relationship, we're actually engaging in a work of God, much like, at least on our level, that work that Christ did through his life and his sacrifice and continues to do for us. So when you do that, you are actually walking more directly in the footsteps of Christ as a son of God than perhaps you are at any other time when you engage in making peace. And that is that's a difficult road to go down. Anyone who attempts to make peace with someone or to engage in some type of a peaceful reconciliation always will run a risk, but it is a good work.
It's kind of interesting, too, when you really take it up a notch. Rather than just looking at things at this human level, we take it up to the God plane, godly level. He talks about God's way is a way of peace. And so it's not the way of this world. We look at the world. What do you see in the news? What are the headlines? What are things like around the world? It's tough. It's difficult. It is not a peaceful world that we live in. And so God wants us to live his way. That means we're putting on his mind, looking at his attributes, trying to live more of his way all the time. In fact, when you look past beyond this world, we look to the world tomorrow, we look beyond today, we see that God's government, his way, his kingdom, will be one of increasing peace, is the prophecy that's in Isaiah. And so he talks about that's the type of life that we should be striving to live now, because that's the future that's coming.
And of course, the scripture calls Jesus Prince of Peace.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
He comes to establish God's kingdom on this earth. And when he establishes that kingdom on this earth, he is going to bring peace. The prophecies say that weapons of war will be turned into farming implements, that he's going to bring a peace to mankind that mankind has never known. Now, you can start to have that peace in your life right now. But what you have to, for that to happen, what you have to do is you have to begin to take the teachings of the kingdom. And we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. You have to take those teachings and apply them directly into your life now so that you become more Christ-like. You begin to live by that kingdom right now. So to be a peacemaker, though, is to have a lot of self-sacrifice. I mean, we just look at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. To bring a reconciliation between God and humanity. Look at the sacrifice he went through. How do we as Christians on a daily basis apply sacrificing to be a peacemaker?
Well, I think you have to realize that if you start down that road, that there will be a sacrifice. Christ, who became our peace, had to give his life for mankind's sins, and that was the way to peace. And sometimes there is a risk and there is a sacrifice that has to be made. And I think everyone that really engages in any type of effort to correct a problem with another person, within an organization, between groups of people, runs that risk that something could go wrong. There could be a rejection. I'm in this context, Gary, I'm reminded of the example of the Egyptian president Anwar Sadat, who in 1977 decided that it was enough. The animosity between the Jew and the Arab had to end, and so he said, "I will go to Jerusalem." And he went and he spoke to the Israeli Knesset. And that led to other talks, which ultimately led to Camp David and the peace accords that he signed with Menachem Begin, with Jimmy Carter, President Carter, there in the middle of it. And there was a peace treaty that still exists between Israel and Egypt. But, you know, that cost Sadat his life.
That's right.
Now, that treaty still stands. There's still conflict in the region. But at least in our lifetime, it has stood the test of a few decades. But it also represents the risks that are there and the sacrifice sometimes that takes place.
And as a Christian, I mean, he wasn't even a Christian. And
no.
We're looking at a world impact he had. We should be able to do that on a daily basis in our lives as Christians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, there's an amazing section of Scripture. It's over in Philippians chapter 2. And it brings it down to that personal level that we each have to put on a humble attitude. We have to esteem others better than ourselves. And that should change our total perspective all around. Does that cost something? Is that a price to pay in order to do that? Yeah, I've got to think less of myself, and I've got to esteem others. I've got to see others better than myself. And that's how I can become a peacemaker. I can begin to have an attitude like God and be able to live like my Savior, Jesus Christ, and things will be peaceful if I begin to have that perspective that, rather than my own self-serving attitude.
And, you know, the peace we're talking about isn't something you get out of a self-help book. We're talking about a peace that comes from God. So how can a person have a better relationship, child-father relationship with God, so that that person can begin to experience the peace of God?
Say you're sorry. Yeah. Repentance, this concept of change, really comes down to an admission that you're wrong. Say you're sorry. Say you're sorry to God. Say you're sorry to one you may have offended. Say you're sorry for the problem that is there, even if you're not the sole cause of that problem. But to come to the point where you can admit that you're wrong and say, I'm sorry, those two words can go an awful long way toward softening someone's heart, toward softening your own heart toward God, to bring that inner peace. One of the hardest things for a person to do is to admit that they are wrong or have been wrong, and yet those two words, I'm sorry, probably can do more than anything to begin that process of reconciliation and peace.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to change it from a physical perspective to a spiritual one. And it starts with making God a part of your life, believing what he says, and doing it, living it. Live his way of peace, and peace will come to you.
You know, and just, if I'll make a confession here, I mean, conflict in my life, so much of it is because I'm selfish. I mean, people, we all have to realize that we all have a selfishness to come to peace. We have to break through that selfishness in our relationship with God so that we can say we're sorry to him and that we can turn and say we're sorry to others and forgive others when they do wrong against us.
And that's often the first step that can begin that road to peace.
The peace. We'll be right back right after this.
We all need powerful tools to build habits of success and make life work. Get your tools to overcome obstacles and even overcome your own bad behaviors. Life's most powerful tools for personal success are in your free copy of Making Life Work. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. Get your free copy of Making Life Work.
To be a peacemaker, you first have to have peace in your life. Humanity won't find real peace, whether on the personal level or between nations, until we accept that the problem lies within us. The problem is in our own nature. Each of us in our thoughts, emotions, and actions, we're a mixture of good and evil. Now, you might not be able to affect world peace, but you can turn to God and have him change your life, your nature. You can turn to him as your creator and as your father and ask for forgiveness of the evil that is in you and accept his help in becoming his child. You know, the common churchianity slogan is, Jesus accepts you just as you are. That is not what your Bible teaches. Now, that may come as a shock, but we're dedicated to the truth here on Beyond Today. The truth is, Jesus came preaching a message of repentance, a message of required repentance and change of life. You can't keep applying the same old solutions to the same old problems. You'll simply arrive at the same old problems. Turn to God, and he will give you peace. Please join us next week for another edition of Beyond Today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.